Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We are in the middle of our week going through what I'm calling an anchoring passage for me, Romans chapter 8. I mean, we could go through this entire chapter. It's so amazing. And we've gone through bits and pieces of it on this show before, but we're kind of rechecking in with it. And as I've explained throughout this week, that it's so good to have verses, sections, not just like one verse that you really like. You know how you have a favorite verse and it's for everyone, it's always Jeremiah 29:11, you know, or like the most obvious ones that you learn. For Catholics, sometimes it's the most obvious ones that you learn in Sunday school, which is good that you never forget, but not just a favorite verse, but a favorite section of scripture. Where do you have history with the Lord? Where do you go back to? What re-anchors you in your identity? Find those things and write them down. In Romans 8, in addition to John 1, and honestly, Ephesians, the whole book of Ephesians is kind of an anchoring book for me, are really good places for me to go back to. And so I'm just taking you along on that journey. How do we make our mark again in places that we've already read? How are we having the Lord speak to us? And if you've been with us over the past couple of days, per usual, we've made it through two verses, and we're talking about why we are not condemned. That the reality for each and every one of us, and we know this in our heart of hearts, that through our human state, through the fall, through the ways that we've given into sin, we deserve condemnation. We deserve to be condemned. We deserve a guilty verdict. We deserve that guilty judgment, but we don't receive it if we are in Christ Jesus. If we are in Christ Jesus. And why is that? Yesterday we talked about these two laws, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus and the law of sin and death, that Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but he came to, with his law, with the fulfillment of the law, push off the governing power of the earth that was death taking over the human race, and to give life to those who are dead in sin through his life, death, and resurrection. And I wanted to encourage you, let's say that beginning of the passage back so we can memorize it. This was something I said over and over to myself again so that I could repeat it to myself when I didn't have my physical Bible, when I was laying in my bed, whatever, an encouragement to ourselves. Romans 8, 1 and 2, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Let's do it one more time. We'll do it more slowly. So maybe you can say it along with me if you're in your car by yourself, or maybe you're in your prayer time. Romans 8, 1 through 2. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ, it's a little bit of a mouthful, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. Why is this anchoring? Because it's telling me who I am. I'm not condemned. Christ has set me free in his new life. Take that into your heart today. Take that into your mind. Let it sink in. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to get back to where we left off. And the Holy Spirit's really been speaking to us in this beautiful passage, and we're going to hear what else the Holy Spirit has to say. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that although we condemn ourselves, you do not condemn us. Although we are guilty, although we've sinned against you, although we have fallen away, but because of your blood, because of your life flowing through our veins, the new life that you bring us, we are not condemned. That we are made righteous by you. And as we read these passages, give us the mind of Christ. Give us more of the Holy Spirit so we may receive a deeper and deeper understanding of what Christ has done for us, what the law is. What is Paul even talking about? Anything that might be confusing in this as we read it, that it would be cleared up, that you would enlighten our hearts and our minds, that we may receive with clarity the Word of God. And we ask all of this in your most holy name. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, again, a big chunk here. I'm going to read 8:1-9, Romans 8:1-9. Again, are you ready? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God really dwells in you. I wanted to read that last verse, so I want to end on an encouraging note of Paul encourages us. You're not in the flesh, you are not in death, but you are in the Spirit. So we left off yesterday. Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death through the new law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. So we go to the next verse. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. So before we get into what God has done, let's talk about the law. So this law, again, he's referring to here the Mosaic law. And remember, we have a couple interchangeable laws, the law of sin and death, that law that governs the human race and reigns over the human race in a particular way, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, that law that's fulfilled in Jesus. And so here he's talking about the Mosaic law, that the Mosaic law, the law given, and this is Paul talks in Romans a lot about the law. A lot about the law. And in chapter 7, I actually just want to go back because I think it will help us. He's saying, likewise, in 7:4, likewise, my brother, you have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead. While we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are discharged from the law, dead to that which held us captive. We serve not under the old written code, but in the new life in the Spirit, right? So the new law is the new life in the Spirit. And he's talking about the old written code that brings out death in us. Why? Is it because the law is so problematic? And oh, those laws that God gave, God was like, whoops, those 613 were actually really bad laws and they're not helpful to you at all. And now I'm going to do a new thing. I also want to say the reality is it's not that God sent the old law and then it was like, wow, this really isn't working. I better try something else. Maybe I'll try sending my son. It all is part of God's plan. And so the Mosaic law, the written code, makes way for the new law in Christ. And so the Mosaic law, what could the law do? The law, the Mosaic law, was good and holy, but it has limits. What can it do? It can show us what sin is. Just like this is a faulty analogy, but the written code of the law shows us what crime is. And there's some things that are written on our hearts. We know it's bad to murder. We know it's bad to do all these things. But if it's written in the law, you shall not, you know, don't speed. Don't go over the speed limit. Speeding's on my mind because I got pulled over twice by the same cop. I didn't realize that I had such a problem with speeding until the same cop pulled me over twice. But it exposed what the law does. The law, the speed limit, for example, is a law. And what it does is it exposes when we don't follow the law. So it shows us, the written code shows us what sin is. It can name right and wrong. And it shows us a lot of times, you know, when you look at the Israelites, they failed at following the law. And so it showed the gap of righteousness. And because we couldn't follow the law on our own strength, the law actually becomes a source of condemnation for us. Think about that in a courtroom. Again, if you break the law, if somebody murders someone, the law is there to say, you know, you should not murder. There's going to be consequences for your action. If they murder someone or they steal and they go to trial and then the judgment is you broke the law, the law is bringing condemnation. The law is condemning the person to death, to life in prison, whatever it is. And so the law is not bad on its own, but because of our own sinfulness, it becomes a source of condemnation for us. It becomes a source of condemnation for the Israelites. And so that's why it says the law is weakened by flesh. The problem isn't the law. The problem is us. The problem is you. The problem is me. The problem was the Israelites, that they couldn't follow the law. And the law can do all kinds of things. The law can show us what the standard is. The law can reveal the place in our hearts, but it cannot change the human heart or set us free from sin. All the law can do is show us what's wrong and bring right and just condemnation for that. And so it's saying, why am I free from the law of sin and death? Because God has done what the law, weakened by flesh, what human beings couldn't accomplish through obedience alone, God himself has accomplished. And I want to make that clear, what we're about to talk about that God does, right? The spirit of the law of life in Christ Jesus, is not a human initiative. It's not a self-improvement project. It's not like, okay, here's the new law, here's the new standard, and I can work my way up. The reality is that we are broken and sinful. The Israelites were broken and sinful, and they couldn't accomplish the perfection of the law. They couldn't keep all of the commandments. And so because they couldn't be obedient, the law brought a just condemnation through them, but God chooses to accomplish something that the law couldn't accomplish himself. The law could not provide salvation. The law could not save the Israelites. It could show them what sin was. It could show them what right and wrong was, but it couldn't stop them from sinning. It couldn't give them eternal life. It couldn't set them free from the law of sin and death. And so God himself accomplishes what the law and what we could not do. Salvation is God's initiative, friends, not a self-improvement project. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. This first part of what God has done, God sends his only begotten Son into the world, Jesus, perfect in every way, and he comes and he takes on flesh. God could have chosen another way to do this, but he says, I'm going to fulfill the just requirement of the law because I cannot violate my justice. And so Jesus, he doesn't just put on human clothes. He doesn't just put on a cloak of humanity. He becomes like us in every way but sin. So Jesus is actually human flesh, but not fallen human flesh. He doesn't have sin, but he takes on the likeness of men so that sin could be condemned in him. And this is a really big thing that we're going to begin to get in tomorrow. And so I don't want to start it with the 30 seconds I have left, but to think about this, that the law was weakened by human flesh. We couldn't keep the law. We couldn't obey. And instead of casting us out, Jesus fulfills the law and God brings another way for us to go to freedom, to eternal life. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for what you have given us. And we ask you to take us deeper. Join us again tomorrow as we continue on with these verses. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.